So we're on the Gemara Alef Lamed Beis, on the base where the Gemara is busy discussing what seems to be a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. What was the contradiction? On the one hand, the Mishnah said quite clearly that even Dinei Momonos requires Drisha Lechakira, and we seem to have a Braisa that seems to suggest the opposite, that it does not require Drisha Lechakira, and that's why even if the dates are not quite accurate, we will still kosher the shtar, etc., etc. So we are trying to reconcile this particular stira, and the Gemara is going to give altogether three answers, one of which we have seen so far. What's that teretz that we have seen? There is a difference between min ha-toira and midrabanan. Min ha-toira, you need drisha v'chakira, as learned from the pasuk mishpat echad ti'elochem. So the halacha of Dine Nefasha applies also to Dine Momonos. However, Chazal came along in order not to close the door in front of potential borrowers. We wanted to encourage lenders to lend money. Therefore, we didn't want to make it too difficult for them to be able to return their money. And therefore, we waived the halacha of Drisha v'chakira. Obviously, it goes without saying. It doesn't mean that we don't treat the case with absolute seriousness. And we asked the Edom questions, but that intense cross-examination, Chazal waived. That was the first teretz, and therefore the Mishnah, which says you need Drisha v'chakira, is referring to the halacha min ha-Torah, and the Braisa that seems to suggest that you do not need Drisha v'chakira, that is referring to post-Takonas Chazal. So we are up to the Gemara on Lamed Beis, Omed Beis, Rava Oma, Rava Oma. Says the Gemara, Rava Omar is now going to give a new teretz. Masnisin dahocha bedine knosais. There is a differentiation to be made between a knas, a penalty, as opposed to the idach. The other one is talking about bohidoyos vahalvoyos, admissions and loans. What does that mean? Have a look at Rashi. Rava Oma, Taravayu, both of them, both the Mishnah and the Braisa, both of them are talking about Bosar after Takanta de Rabbonon. They are both referring to post-Takana of Rabbonon, which means we are now in an age where we are concerned not to close the door in front of potential borrowers, and therefore we waive Dine Momonos. Not like the first teretz, which was the teretz of Rav Chanina, that the Mishnah is prior to the Takona and the Braisa is post the Takona. No, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are both talking about nowadays times where the halacha of Drisha v'chakira was waived. Nonetheless, Umas Nisin, says Rashi, the Mishnah is talking about Bedine Knossos. The Mishnah is not talking about lending money at all. The Mishnah is talking about penalties. Deleka lemeichash leneilas deles, where there is no concern of closing the door. I.e., we know very well that when we talk about Dine Momonos, that could have many different connotations. Dine Momonos means it's a financial case, that's true. But is it a financial case because Reuven lent Shimon money? Is that the case? Or maybe it's a knas. What's the halacha of a knas? We know, for example, there are some occasions where you have to pay not essentially what you owe, but actually more than what you owe. Example, if somebody steals, obviously he's got to pay back. But as we well know, if you steal a sheep or a cow and you sell it and you shecht it, then you have to pay four times as much or five times as much. That is not money that you strictly speaking owe, but it's a penalty that the Torah slaps on. Over there, we all understand that obviously it's totally irrelevant. It's not applicable anymore to talk about closing the door in front of the loiver. Which loiver? We're not talking about a loiver, Bichlal. There's no borrower, there's no lender. So therefore, there's nobody here that needs to be encouraged to lend money. We're not talking about a loan. And therefore, even though the Mishnah is talking about nowadays times where Chazal have waived the halacha of drisha v'chakira, but nonetheless, with regard to a knas, that's irrelevant. And therefore, the halacha of drisha v'chakira very much still remains. Says Rashi, Aval b'hoidoyos v'halvoyos. If you're talking about admissions or loans, the ikar lemeichash leilas delas. B'hoidoyos v'halvoyos. B'dine milve, with regard to the halachas of loans. V'ze bo lidoin b'eide hoidoyo. One, for example, comes with witnesses that testify that yes, he admitted that he owes the money. Shahoydaloi b'fnehem, he admitted in front of them. Oy be'edei halva, all the actual witnesses saw the actual loan. Shehilveu b'fnehem. Either way, if we're talking about a case of a loan, either the witnesses saw the loan or they saw somebody admit to a loan. Over there, de'ikel ameichash le'ni'ilas deres. Over there, we very much have to be concerned with ni'ilas deles. So wherever we're discussing a case of a loan, that's where we waive drisha v'chakira. Therefore, we now have a brand new teretz with which we can reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah that says you need drisha v'chakira is talking about knas, where the whole concept of li'ilas deles is not applicable. The Braisa that says that you do not need drisha v'chakira is talking about loans. And if it's loans, we have the ne'ilas deles principle, and therefore there's no halacha of drusha v'chakira. That's the second teretz. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa says a third teretz. Idi ve'idi b'hoidoya v'halvo. Really, both of them are talking about admissions and loans. Nothing to do with knas. So why then does the Mishnah say you still need drisha v'chakira? Kan bedin maruma and kan bedin she'eino maruma. What does the word maruma mean? Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, maruma she'beistin makirin b'toveya zeh. Beis Din know the claimer, Shehu Ramai. We know that he is a gangster. Oi, not that we know it based on past experience, but Mavinim, but we understand Ta'anas Ramai Bidvarov. Or we understand that there seems to be some lying in his claim. In other words, we treat the halacha of a Ramai, of a liar, very differently to the way that we would a regular person. If somebody has either a precedent or we see it now that he seems to be lying, well, if that's the case, we will treat the case very differently. Rather than cross-examining, we'll be more than happy to waive the case and exempt because it looks for the world like this guy is lying. What's the precedent to do such a thing? Says the Gemara. Keder Resh Lakish, in accordance with Resh Lakish's rule. What did Resh Lakish say? The Resh Lakish Rami Ksiv. What does Rami Ksiv mean? I've had this phrase many times. Rami means to throw or to pitch. When you want to ask a steerer between two psukim, you say Rami, you're throwing one against the other. Rami Ksiv, he threw one posuk against the other. He had a contradiction. What was the contradiction? On the one hand, we have a famous posuk, Betzedek Tishpoit Amisecha. You shall judge your nation, Betzedek, with righteousness. How many times does it say the word Tzedek? Once, Betzedek. But elsewhere in the Torah of Iksiv, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdoif, you shall pursue Tzedek, and there it says it twice. So why in one pasuk does it say it once, and one pasuk it says it twice? It seems to suggest, as if to say, there are occasions where you seek justice more than you would in other cases. What does that mean? So Resh Lakish answered, he reconciled the psukim and he said, Hoketzat, how can this be? Kan bedin meruma, and kan bedin she'enei meruma. It depends on who you're dealing with, says Rashi. Betzedek tishpoit, v'loi ksiv betzedek tzedek. It doesn't in that pasuk use the word tzedek twice, like it does in the other pasuk, tzedek tzedek. Lahazir bezdin ledakdik boy kol kach. In other words, the Torah is not warning that the dayan has to be so extremely particular, lidroish velachkir. In other words, this sounds almost a strange principle. You always have to have justice, but sometimes you have to have super justice and sometimes minimal justice. When we're talking about average people, regular people, we've got no reason to be concerned that they're liars, they're honest people, everything they say is true. Okay, they're having a din Torah. Tzedek, tzedek, tiradif. You've absolutely got to pursue absolute justice. But when you have somebody in front of you who is a Ramai, so then we will try and veer the din against him because he seems to be lying through his teeth. So, of course, we're still going for justice. Chas v'shalom to suggest otherwise, but we will not pursue with the same intensity. Therefore, says the Gemara, that would be a brand new way now to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Do we or don't we require drisha v'chakira? And the answer is, it depends who's standing in front of us. Under ordinary circumstances, Have I learnt it right? Rabbi Yosef, have I learnt this right? Is that how Art Scroll translate? You're on mute.
I think you quoted the Pesukim the wrong way around, actually, when you went over it.
Right. I believe I made a mistake. Yeah, just correct me. The which way around? Tzedek, Tzedek, Tiradif is what? That's referring to a Ramai?
Because it's there you need the extreme justice.
Right.
And the tzedek is just
ordinary. Yeah, that's what I was asking for. I caught myself. In other words, under ordinary circumstances, yes, we have a principle that we waive the halacha of drisha v'chakira for reasons that we stated before. But when we have somebody who is a Ramai, the potential lender, the so-called alleged lender is a Ramai, then over there, to the contrary, we're not interested in helping him claim the money back. Tzedek, tzedek, we're absolutely going to grill the Edim so that hopefully we'll find some discrepancy and get the borrower off the hook. Why have we got an agenda to do that? Because the potential claimer is a liar. He's a Ramai. Either we know it from the past or we know it from today. So therefore, we have a pasuk of Betzedek Tishpoit, and we have a pasuk of Betzedek Tzedek. Tzedek Tzedek Tiradoif. So Resh Lakish was using that difference to explain the psukim, and we're using that difference to explain the difference in the Mishnah and the Braisa. Yeah, Reb Larry.
What if the aide is a known liar?
Then he's apostle A. He's thrown out anyway. That goes back to our sugi. Remember, we learned about a malve beribis, mafriche yoinim, all the people who seem to have a suspicious background. Okay, so it turns out, Rabbeisai, that we now have altogether three different ways of reconciling the Braisa and the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah says you need drisha v'chakira. The Braisa says, no, you do not. Stira. Three tirutzim. Either the Mishnah is talking about Me'ikra Din as far as the Torah is concerned. The Braisa is talking about post the Takana when they waived it. Second suggestion is no. They're both talking about post the Takana. But one's talking about the halacha of Knas. In the case of Knas, we're not talking about loans at all. So obviously the principle of Ne'ilas Deles, of closing the door, is not applicable. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, and that's why you have drisha v'chakira. And the third teretz says that no, you know why you need drisha v'chakira in the Mishnah? Because it's talking about a Ramai. And a Rami were absolutely going to grill the Edom, even nowadays, post the Takana, because we need to prove that indeed he's lying. Says the Gemara. It turns out, Rabbi Yisai, that we have now reconciled the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and using Resh Lakish's principle, we have also reconciled the two psukim. Remember, one pasuk says "Betzedek tzedek tirdoif," and one says "Betzedek tishbeit amisecha." So Resh Lakish reconciled the pasuk by differentiating between a Ramai and a non-Ramai. We use Resh Lakish's principle, copy and paste, to reconcile also the difference in the Mishnah and the Braisa.
Rabbi, do you think Resh Lakish is involved in this machlokas because he was a Ramai?
I don't know.
No, so you understand. He understands sure. The whole
Malach. Sure. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi now steps in and says, listen, Masnisin, the way that you have reconciled the Mishnah, Kedashonin, indeed as you answered. You suggested three answers, all of them are perfectly acceptable. But Kroi, but the contradiction between the two psukim, which you quoted Resh Lakish to answer them, that you should know there's actually another way of answering them. There is another way of reconciling this contradiction between the two psukim regarding do you need tzedek or do you need tzedek tzedek? What will be this new way of reconciling them? Echod ledin, ve'echod lepshara. Rabbi Yisai, we are now entering new territory. Aloha that I don't think we've discussed yet in this Masechta, the aloha of a pshara, of a compromise. Sometimes Bezdin will paskan aloha, you are chayiv, you are potter, whether you like it or not. And on occasion, they will encourage a pshara. What's a pshara? As it were, a settlement, a compromise between the two parties, so that there's no actual psak halacha, this is what you must do. Rather, we have come to, as it were, an out-of-court settlement, and this is what we'll do. Kedatanya, as the Brisa says, tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif, echod ledin, ve'echod lepshara. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, but tzedek, sorry, masnisa, the Mishnah indeed, shapir itaretsu. You have indeed answered it well. Bechad mehani shinuye. In one of any of the three aforementioned tirutzim, ikar of chanina, ikar of papa, we've suggested three tirutzim, and says Rav Ashi, I'm happy with all of them. Avol kroi, but the pasuk, there you only brought one teretz, which was Resh Lakish. I've got a new way of answering it. Avol kroi deromi lehu Resh Lakish. For those psukim that Resh Lakish asked a contradiction between, one says tzedek and one says tzedek tzedek. So he says you should know loy koshu. They're not difficult at all. The tzedek tzedek lav ledrisha v'lechakira osi. That pasuk using the double phrase of tzedek tzedek is not talking about drisha v'chakira. It has nothing to do with it. So why is the double lashon used? Elo tzedek. The first word tzedek is telling you din shelcha. V'tzedek. The second one is pshara shelcha. Lefira ois einecha. What does it mean, lefira ois einecha? In accordance with the way that Dayanim see it. Sometimes they will see it fit to encourage a pshara. V'loi tirdoif. Do not run after esho echad yesem echaveiroi. Do not follow one more than the other. In other words, what's the lashon of the pasuk? But tzedek, tzedek Tzedek tiradoif, pursue justice. Which justice? You just told me there's two types of justice. There's tzedek din, and there's tzedek pshara. Says the Torah, tzedek, tzedek, tiradoif. Neither one is better than the other. You should pursue them equally. Lefi ra'ois einecho. According to the way you see it. It's not arbitrary. The Gemara is about to explain in a second when and why Beis Din will on occasion encourage a pshara. But all the Torah is telling you is you should know that each one is a perfectly valid way of settling the case. And therefore, says Rav Ashi, we do not need to reconcile the psukim to say one's talking about drusha v'chakira, one's not drusha v'chakira, and there's a stira. No, 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 no. The reason why there's a double loshon mentioned in this pasuk, tzedek, tzedek, it's a reference to one type of justice, to another type of justice, of din and pshara, and the Torah is telling you which one should you pursue, either or both. Neither one is better or more acceptable than the other. So how indeed do we decide? So the Gemara explains. Ketzad, last word on the line. Ketzad. So how do we go about deciding whether we should go for a din, whether we should go for a pshara? Says the Gemara, shtei sfinois, two boats, oivrois benohor. Imagine two boats sailing down the river. Upogu ze boze. And they now arrive and they hit each other, as it were. There's no room for both boats to pass. So there's a narrow entrance and both boats have arrived at the same time. So what are we going to do? If they both decide that they want to push their way through, what's going to happen? Says the Gemara, im oivrois shtehen, if they both try and pass through and neither one steps back, shtehen toivois, well then they're both going to sink. They're going to jostle and wrestle against each other and then just push each other into the water. But bezeh achazeh, but if they allow one to go first and the other one second, wonderful. Shtehen oivrois. Then indeed they'll both be able to go through. One type of moshel, another moshel. V'chein shnei gmalin. Imagine you have two camels, shoyu oilim, b'mailois beis chorin. They want to now both go up. Rashi explains it's a very narrow type of staircase. There is no room for both. And once again, upogu ze bo ze. And they both meet each other. They both arrive there at the same time. Im olu shneem, shneem noiflim. If they both try and push each other and enter this narrow staircase simultaneously, they're both going to collapse by pushing each other. But beze achaze, shneem noiflim. But if they go one after another, but not two at the same time, then they're both going to be able to go up the staircase, with the obvious question being, that's great, but how are we going to decide who goes first? Says the Gemara, Hoketzad. So how are we going to adjudicate this? Te'una v'she'ena te'una. If one of these boats or one of these camels is laden, full of stock or merchandise, and one of them is Einoi Te'una. So which one would you think goes first? Says the Gemara, Tidoche She'eino Te'una. The one that's not laden will be pushed back, Mipnei Te'una, in favor of the laden one. The one who's laden will go first. Or, Kroiva V'She'eino Kroiva. If one of them is closer to their destination, they both need to go to this through this narrow pathway. One is very close to his destination, and one still has a long way to go. Kroiva, v'she'ena kroiva. So tidoche kroiva. Let the one who is close step aside because he's almost home. Mipnei she'ena kroiva. Let them both let the one who's further away from his destination go first. After all, it's correct. He's still got a long way to go. And what happens if you stay in Kroivois or stay in Rochoikos? What happens if they're both laden or non-laden? They're both close to home or far to home. There's no way really of deciding one over and above the other. Then hatel pshara beinehen. Well, then you have to do some type of compromise. Umailois schar zulazu. And one is going to have to say, fine, I'll reward you, I'll let you go first. So this is, of course, all a moshel. Let's have a look quickly at Rashi. We're running out of time. Shtehen toivois. Both the boats are going to sink. Shetitchoik zuizu. They're both going to push each other out of the way. But ve'im bezu achazu. Mishateleich achas elayabosho. One will go to the other side. Ad shetavoi chaver. Tov achakach tavoiri. And then it'll go him. Mailois beis choyroin, mokim tsar, very narrow place. Vein derech, there's no place, lintois yemino smoil. Can't go right, can't go left, there's no room. Vitzorich ho'echod lintois achoyrov. And one of them is just going to have to wait behind. Ad shenimsa mokim lintois, until there's finally room to go through. So im oilois shtehen, kagoin ze oile mitzad ze, vze oile mitzad ze, opoigois beroish chudoi shalhar. If they both try and squeeze through and they bump each other at the top of the mountain, v'habika amuka miyam in a smile, and there's a deep valley on either side, then what's going to happen? Well, they're both going to fall and collapse. Kroivo la'iro u'maylo ischar la'achas v'tidoche. So what is this brisa a moshel for? That you see that when I've got this dispute, as it were, between two boats or two camels, there's two ways of deciding it. Either by rights, one is laden, one is not laden. One is further to home, one is closer to home. So one can really be machriya the din. And if not, they will do a pshara. Then they'll have to come to a settlement. So too, in Bezdin, sometimes Bezdin will decide there's a clear way of being machriya the din. And sometimes it's unclear, so we'll encourage a pshara. Now, by the way, this Gemara is extremely famous for historical reasons. There was in this country a very, very famous meeting between Maron HaChazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and the Prime Minister of the country, Ben Gurion. And it was towards the beginning of the founding of the state, and Ben Gurion agreed to speak to the Chazon Ish about to understand his position, why he was so against Bokharim being conscripted into the army. It is reported that when Ben-Gurion came out, he said he's never seen such a chocham in all his life. The Chazon Ish, as you can well imagine, did not need to prepare for the meeting. He had Kol HaTorah Kula in his hands. So Ben-Gurion said to him, we're much bigger than you. There are many more of us than there are of you. Therefore, we have to follow the majority. So the Chazon Ish said, but the Gemara says that when you have two boats or two wagons that come to a corner, which one goes first? One that's laden. For a Gemara that we just learned. And even though we might be the minority, but we're the ones who are laden with Torah. The Torah is with us. You, unfortunately, are empty. You are non-laden. So therefore, it's irrelevant that you're bigger. The Gemara says clearly that who goes first, we have to give precedence to the one who is laden. By the way, an incredible and very, very important addition that I heard actually many years ago from a Rav in Bet Shemesh of Kirshenbaum. Apparently, during the meeting, Ben-Gurion was reported to have said to the Chazon Ish, don't think that I'm a koifer, I'm a denier, I'm a ma'amin. I believe in Hashem. After he left, the Chazon Ish said to his Talmidim, I'm not aware of any religion in the world which doesn't require, based on your belief, some type of commitment. merely to say that I believe, but it doesn't require you to commit in any which way not to put on tefillin and not to keep Shabbos and not to fast on Yom Kippur, well, that imuna is all worthless. There isn't a religion in the world that doesn't require some type of commitment. In other words, an emuna, which is machayev nothing, is worth nothing. Merely to say, I believe, that emuna has to be translated into a lemaisa. I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, etc., etc. He's the Odoin, I'm the Eved, and therefore my life has changed as a result. I feel I'm required to do the following. But if I don't feel that, then the emuna is all worthless. Very important you say it.
Rabbi, is there a mahalach to say that for people that in their wildest dreams would never do tshuva, but in a shasat chak, if you can get them to stop believing in Hashem as this and that, it would lead to them becoming shomer mitzvos?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It could be. Yeah, it could be. So I guess the chazan
is... Just to say, you know, listen, I don't want to ever do mitzvos, but I'm void. I start believing in Hashem for Savior. And you see, when you see Hashem's beautiful save of you, now ask yourself, now who gave this to you? And what is he asking? What is he requiring? It could be the first step towards, you know,
yeah,
Shomer Torah mitzvos, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Fine. I don't know. I'm just speaking out loud. I have no idea.
Fine. Have a great day, Larry. Enjoy the